Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 6, the Lord gives us a direction here that we need to pay careful attention to, because this can stop us from our spiritual growth. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, if we don't believe that God works on earth every day, we're not going to be able to be saved. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and notice, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So that diligently seeking Him is very necessary, and if we do that, we must believe that God will reward us. If you seek, you'll find. So when we're trying to be complete in Christ, we need to believe that God is working in us and with us. Now we know that all things work together for good, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that we can trust the Scriptures, that every word is true and what is right. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, Matthew 22, verse 43, Jesus testified that David indeed was inspired by God's Holy Spirit when he wrote Psalms 110. And he saith unto them, How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. So God's Holy Spirit is inspiring all of these words in Scripture, and we must believe every single word. Jesus said Scripture cannot be broken. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13, God's Holy Spirit was upon David the day he was anointed king of Israel. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, 1 Samuel 16, 13, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So David was inspired by the Holy Spirit in everything he did from the day that he became king. In Psalms 119, David was the wisest man that had ever lived up till that time, and he tells us why. Psalms 119, beginning verse 97, Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. So even when we're dealing with temptation, or we're dealing with other people, or we're dealing with material things, we can meditate on God's law and apply God's law to every single thing that we do. In verse 98, Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. So through God's commandments, he makes us wise. So we need to know all of these commandments, and if we're lacking any commandments that he gives, we're lacking that much wisdom. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. David meditated on the word of God, and that gave him then more understanding than all of his teachers. Why? Because God gave him that understanding because he was seeking God and seeking to understand. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. So it's not just God's testimonies and commandments, it's also his precepts that David obeyed. So obeying God in his commandments, his direction, his rule, and everything he says is what is going to give us his wisdom. And God will reward us with his understanding if we ask him for it. So in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 19, David understood nothing was left up to him. So he gave himself no credit for the understanding that he received. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 19, All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And his hand upon me is the expression used by several prophets when they were inspired by God's Holy Spirit. So he made me understand in writing. So David wrote these things down, and he understood. God is the one that made him understand. In Ezekiel 36, verse 24, God gave a new heart and new spirit to the ones he called back from Babylonian captivity. Remember, God took them into Babylon, worked with them 70 years, and then brought them back. Now here, this is the bringing back of these souls that were in Israel. For I will take you from among the heathen, the Babylonians, and other places where he had scattered them, and gather you out of all countries, and bring you to your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Notice verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. So he's going to give them a new heart and a new spirit. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And that's something that God can work with. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you. There's your Holy Spirit. And cause you to walk in my statutes. That's what God says. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now many have many explanations about how God did all these things, how he gave them the new heart and all that. The fact is, God did it. He gave them a new heart and a new spirit. If he can do it for them, he can also do it for us. In Ezra 1st chapter, verses 1 through 4, God brought back only the good things, the righteous things to Judea and Jerusalem. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, notice, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. And what was the result of stirring up his spirit? That he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia. Now God is causing him to write this, to speak it and write it. The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remains in any place, the ones that don't go, where he sojourns, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold and with goods and with beasts besides the freewill offering of the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So God stirred up the king to make his commandment. Then verse 5, that's not all he did. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priest and the Levites. Notice, the chief of the fathers, Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, with all those whose spirit God raised to go to build the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem. So God raised these spirits up to do these things. Now it's true that God stirred them up. Now how he did it doesn't matter. God did it. So in Jeremiah the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 5, God can and does stir up spirits. Jeremiah 24, verse 1. The Lord showed me, behold, two baskets of figs which were set in the temple of the Lord, after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. There's about 4,000 of these people, and he brings all these people to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they're so evil. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Now notice, each one of these was a good fig. He didn't put one bad fig among them, only the good ones. Then the others he spread all over the world. So does God have control of all these things? Here's an enemy that doesn't believe in God. The Chaldeans are very strong. They're very powerful. no faith in God whatsoever, and yet by the time God gets finished, these wicked men take the righteous men and carry them to Babylonian captivity, and there's not one bad or one person that should not be there. Is God in control of all these things? Can God stir up hearts? So Jeremiah 24, verse 6, "For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me." Notice that? I'm going to give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. In Jeremiah 32, verse 37, God gave them one heart to fear him forever. "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries." Now he's not just talking about the ones in Babylon. Now he scattered them all through the country. He killed the most wicked, scattered the rest in all these countries, worked with them, was a little temple unto all of them in these countries. Now he's going to bring the good ones back out of all these countries. "Where I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place and will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me." So God's in full control of these people, but he knows that they're good figs. He can do it. He can do this with us if we will listen to his commandments, if we are good figs. In Ezekiel chapter 11, Ezekiel 11, beginning of verse 16, God gave a new spirit and one heart to the Israelites he brought back. "Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come." Notice that? He's sending them out there, but he's going to be a little sanctuary. He's going to look after every single one of them. "Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries wherewith you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." So God can give us the same kind of heart, that we'll work together in love to do his will in everything. And that's what he encourages us to do in 1 Corinthians 1:10 we'll not read. Let's turn to Ezekiel, the third chapter. So we've seen this two prophecies of the very same thing, first with Jeremiah, now with Ezekiel. Now Ezekiel 3, beginning in verse 4. "And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee to the house of Israel and speak my words unto them." Notice, "speak my words, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of hard sayings, hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and of hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel," notice these are the good figs in Babylon, "will not hearken unto me." That's where Ezekiel is, with the good figs in Babylon. Jeremiah is in Jerusalem with the bad figs. "For they will not hearken unto you, for they, all the house of Israel, are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. Behold, they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them out of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. So here they are with hearts harder than flint, but God knew them. They had been with the wicked figs for how many years now, and the wicked figs had totally corrupted these good figs. So they wouldn't listen to God at all when they first got to captivity. But God kept working with them with Ezekiel for 70 years, and by the time of 70 years, God had converted these people and then brought them back to Jerusalem. Notice they had to come out from among those wicked people and be separate, even 70 years. So what about us as we're trying to grow in the image of Christ? Can we be companions with those who are around us in the world in any way, whether it's communication, whether it's television, internet, or any other way? Can we be companions with them and still be formed in the image of Christ? These people were taken fully out from them, and they were put with other good figs. So in John the 10th chapter, verse 35, who would dare question the prophets that the Word of God inspired? In verse 35, John 10, if he called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. We need to believe all these things that we just heard this morning, so that we can be good figs and that we can be formed fully in the heart of our Lord. In Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 13, the Lord declares that he works with the children's hearts. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Notice that. It is God which works in you. Who were these? They were the Philippian brethren. They were good figs. It is God which works in you. How does he work? Both to will and to do his good pleasure. So he works in us to will to do his will, and he works in us to do his will. So if God works in the heart of these faithful brethren, can he work in our hearts, and will he if we ask him? In Ephesians, the first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, he does work through the Scriptures, but he works through many other ways as well. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. Now, God's not left this earth. He's still working all things together after the counsel of his will. He's getting his will done everywhere. It looks like things are fully out of control from our standpoint, but are they really out of control? They're not, not in any way. We need to trust him and understand that he is in control of all these people and all these things. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 16, though some would dare to deny that God put an earnest care into the heart of Titus for the Corinthians, what does he say? But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. So why did Titus care for these Corinthians? God put that heart into Titus. Can he put hearts into men to do certain things and to love certain people? And the answer is yes, he can do that. And he did it with Titus. He no doubt did that with Paul and with many others. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Paul encouraged Timothy to trust in the Lord and give him the understanding to the Scripture that he needed, the understanding he needed. Consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. Now, was Timothy in a special place that God would do something for him that he wouldn't do for anybody else? And of course, the answer is no. Timothy was an ordinary person. He had one gift. We don't know what one that was. But he was a faithful man, and God worked through him to do all these good works in all these other churches. And especially he gave Timothy to Ephesus to do all these good words there, good works there. So how did Timothy understand all these things so he could do all these things and grow in the image of Christ? God is the one that gave him understanding in all things. Can he give us understanding to all things? So when we can't understand the Scripture, do we go to commentaries or do we go to other people to ask them, what does God say? Remember what he told Ezekiel If anyone sends to you, or if you send to somebody, you ask the prophet, what has the Lord answered? What has the Lord said? Don't ask him what he thinks. And if you ask anybody else, ask them what the Lord said, not what he thinks. So in James, the first chapter, verses 5 through 8, God makes an astonishing promise that we need to listen to and we need to love. James 1, verse 5. If any of you, does that include all of us? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. There's a promise. Ask of God. Of course, that's not the only thing we need to do, but we do need to ask him. And let him ask in faith, believing God will answer his prayer, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So a wave that's driven back and forth, what value is it? There's no stability. And God says, don't let that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. He will not. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning in verse 14, Ephesians 3, verse 14, Paul knew that God was the one that granted him strength, and to God's children as well. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Notice, he's praying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, Paul's praying that God will do this. Can God then strengthen us with might by his Spirit in the inner man? And of course, he can do that. And we need to ask him to give us his strength and his ability and his courage and his zeal. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 5 through 10, God describes the way in which he forms a new spirit in his children. Remember, he sent Ezekiel to them, and through Ezekiel, he gave them a new heart and a new spirit. And how did he give that new heart and spirit? By giving Ezekiel words to speak to those people. So God was accomplishing his purpose with his words. But they had to understand his words. Not only that, they had to respond to those words. And here's how they had to respond. Verse 5. You Christians, have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, chastening is being corrected, and rebuking is being corrected. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. There's he's correcting them, and scourges every son that he receives. So we need to listen for the word of God to correct us and show us where we are wrong. Now we can say, well, if we're not complete, then Lord, help us. If we're complete, we'll not be sinning at any time. We'll be overcoming in every temptation we have. So every time we sin, what does it remind us of? What it reminds us of, we're not complete yet. We need more of God's correction. He needs to point out, this is wrong. Whether it's our understanding that's wrong, or whether it's our action that is wrong, or whether it's our thinking that is wrong, God needs to point out, this is wrong, and we need to accept it. Verse 7, if you endure, there's your endurance, your pain. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, God's not correcting you, whereof all of God's faithful are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and he gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So is God correcting us on a regular basis? If he's not, guess what? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. We will. We'll be partakers of his holiness if we'll listen to him when he corrects us, whether he corrects us with one person or another, or with a stranger or some other way. He's going to correct us, and we need to listen every single time we find ourselves doing wrong. And we need to find out what is in the heart that we have that is causing us to do this thing that is wrong. Because it's out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. and all the issues of life are. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 through 5, Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, notice how the Holy Spirit is working now. He works to give the Word of God. He works probably to give us the understanding, but look what else he does. And not only so, Romans 5, verse 3, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he has given us. Remember, Jesus said, I will send the Comforter that he may be with you forever. What's he doing? This is what he's doing right here. He is the one that gives us our temptations. And he's the one then that provides a way of escape. And he's the one that when we pass the test, that gives us this patience. Patience is ability to endure pain, to do right. And he reminded us of the woman that's in travail before she has her child, and then she forgets the pain because of the joy of the child. Well, it's true. He's giving us this pain now. But as we grow, then we understand that that pain was good for us. So we need to be willing to suffer all these things and to suffer in order to do what is right and not give in to the temptation and do wrong so we don't suffer. And hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which he has given to us. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12, he's the one that decided which Christian got which gift. And then he was the one that oversaw each one of these gifts that he gave to all these people. The Holy Spirit was doing all these things, not just in Corinth, but in every place where he gave these miraculous powers. So he's also doing this work in all of God's children, everywhere, no matter where they are in this world. And so we need to understand, God is using Christ for us. He's using his Holy Spirit for us. And how he's doing it, that's his business. He wants us to do our part. And in these verses, our part is to listen to our correction and get the shield of faith that will quench those darts. In Job, the 23rd chapter, verse 10, we need to be like Job and understand that all this pain that we are enduring is really, like Paul said, only for a short time. But Job endured this for, we don't know how many months it was, but it was a long time he endured all these things. Job 23, verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. So God's working in Job the same way he works in us. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So Job knew that his heart was being formed in more and more patience. Now he was totally patient. He was complete already. But God was giving him more depth of that love that God has for each one of us. So even though we may be complete in certain ways, he can deepen that perfection and cause us to come forth with more purity and more holiness and more love. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 19, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 19, David also asked that Solomon give Solomon a perfect heart. And give, David's praying unto God, give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments. Now that's what the perfect heart does. To keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build a palace, the palace for the which I have made provision. So he's asking him, give him a perfect heart so he keeps all the commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. Now, when did Solomon get this perfect heart? Remember, his wives led him astray. Remember in Ecclesiastes, he tried all these material things on earth. He enjoyed them all. He said, my heart rejoiced in all my labor. So God literally gave him over to material things for how many years? Then at the end of his years, when he's old, God then allowed him to be sold into idolatry. Then he corrected him with the rod of men. Solomon then corrected himself. God then gave him these Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. God said, I will not forsake him. I'll correct him with the rod of men. So God did all these things for Solomon for our sake, so he could try all these things, so we know we don't have to try all these things. Solomon's already done it for us. But God had that plan, And it was for our sake he did all these things. So God is working all these things beautifully together. So in 2 Chronicles, the 30th chapter, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 10, God gave Hezekiah's people one heart to do the king's commandments. So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim, Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, and they laughed him to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun, three tribes, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judea and Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. So notice there in verse 12, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do all these things. We can ask God to give us all together, to give us one heart, that we'll work together with each other and encourage and strengthen each other, and he can use us for his good to form our hearts in the image of Christ if we will be willing to accept his chastening and admit, okay, we've done wrong, and now we need to find the shield of faith to overcome. And if we seek it, God says, you'll find. So there is a way for us to become fully in the image of Christ. God's working with us if we will endure and suffer all these things. This morning, this afternoon, as we offer the invitation to those who are not part of the Lord's body, he promises to work with you if you'll work with him. And if you want to be with him forever in eternity, you're going to have to listen to his commands, accept his correction, let him form the heart of Christ in you. If you're ready to turn from your old life and repent and turn to the new life and have that new mind, then we would encourage you to come while we sing this invitation. And if you are needing the prayers of the church to run this race, we would encourage you to come together, come forward and let your desire be made known. Come at this time while we stand and sing.